You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
Again, Jenny is unfortunately unavailable to us today, so I was joined this morning on the phone by New Zealand First Deputy Leader and Foreign Affairs and Regional Development Parliamentary Undersecretary Fletcher Tabateau. So, what does a parliamentary undersecretary do? How does he want to be the next leader of New Zealand? How has Peters fared as leader of our country for the last 6 weeks? Here's my introductory chat with Tabateau to find out.
So your role as parliamentary undersecretary, what does that entail?
It's kind of like a kind of halfway to being a minister. It's an official title that you get so that you can do the jobs of a minister, but you're actually working for a senior minister. So I've got three undersecretary titles. One is for nuclear disarmament, one is for regional economic development, and one is for foreign affairs. And so in all of those, I'm pretty much the kind of a 2IC to the minister in those areas.
Okay. And you're also a deputy party leader, right?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the parliamentary term, just after we get back, the party sits down and has a vote on the leader and the deputy and the whip, and I put my name forward for the deputy leader role, and yeah, was successful in that. So I've been the deputy leader for I think since March. I think we had the vote in February, March.
How's that deputy leadership been going?
It's a big role, and it's mainly a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's fantastic. So just people around New Zealand kind of notice that title a little bit more than some of the others sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's neat to be able to get out and engage with people around the country. And so, yeah, having the title helps, but then there's a lot of work attached to that in terms of the party itself. And so it's good. It's really positive.
Nice. So New Zealand First has just hit its 25-year mark, which is quite a milestone. I mean, it's the third longest running party in the country. You've been a part of the party since the start, have you?
Yeah, that's right, dude. Back when it started, I was a teenager and kind of only mildly interested in politics. It was more my parents dragging me along, you know, as parents are wont to do. And but I was there when we revealed the name and launched at the official launch. So, and then have been a kind of an active member ever since. And I'm based in Rotorua, so right back at the start, I kind of joined the local committee, electorate committee, and you know, helped out where I could. And over the years, just the role's gotten bigger and bigger until I became an MP.
Yeah, nice. So, would you say now, 25 years on as deputy leader, what do you think is different about what the party is standing for, and what do you think is the same?
Well, actually, that's a great question. So just last night we were talking about our 15 fundamental principles, the principles on which the party was formed, and just how important they are today as they were 15 years ago. And I'd like to say the changes are around the professionalism of the caucus, although that might be unfair because I'm sure the people from back in the day will think they were
very
probably way more professional than us. So, you know, it's Parliament itself and government itself is quite a different beast. And so there's, I think it is fair to say, and it'd be interesting to have a debate, the workload and the professionalism required is a lot higher. So that's Parliament and government, and you know, New Zealand First has to evolve with that, or it gets left behind.
Yeah. Looking into the future for the party, I mean, there's not a great track record with coalition partners being re-elected. I mean, do you what's next for New Zealand First?
Yeah. So that I've often talked about that challenge because you're absolutely right. The history of politics is that the good stuff gets blamed, gets accredited to the bigger coalition partner, and everyone says what a good government, but actually they're thinking of the bigger partner, and the stuff that goes wrong, people hold the minority seem to hold the minority partner to account and say, you know, why didn't you stop that, or why didn't you do this? So actually that's very much part of my job, is getting out there and telling people New Zealand First chose Labour as the coalition partner, and we absolutely did the right thing. And so the good and the bad, you know, the frustrations, and but all the good stuff that's happening as well is very much the coalition government, and that is New Zealand First. So we have to get out there and remind people that we're doing the good things as well, and that's happening because of what we've been able to do in coalition.
Would you say that you're the sort of youthful face of the party, this new youthful face that counteracts Winston Peters' age? I mean, in comparison to Peters?
Yeah, in contrast to Mr. Peters, I do look quite young. But we do have only one younger, actually, MP in his 30s with the party, Derek Ball. So probably not the youthful face of the party, but being in your early 40s in politics is definitely...
You'd get branded as young.
Yeah, young, although the Prime Minister... is about 5 years younger than me, I think.
Hmm. So would you say, as deputy, I mean, Winston Peters isn't going to be around forever. Would you say, as deputy, you're a front runner for leadership in the future?
The process is kind of the same as how we kind of vote each term.
Right.
The team gets together and we actually pick the new leader as a team. So. The deputy leader role isn't necessarily that kind of next step to leadership. It's got its own function. You know, it's a support role, it's a coordination role, and I don't know, you know, maybe one day, but certainly not anytime soon. Winston's still doing a great job and enjoying himself, so while that combination is... I don't think we would want to change as a party.
So you could potentially see yourself running as leader one day?
Oh, one day, potentially. Never say never, right?
Yeah. So tonight at midnight, Winston will be handing back the prime ministerial duties to Jacinda Ardern. In hindsight, how do you think he's managed his duties as acting PM?
Exactly how he intended to, with, you know, just... to literally get on with the job and deal with the issues as they arise, but otherwise make sure that Cabinet and the senior ministers and all the other ministers who are MPs just simply get on with their jobs of government. And it's been quite surprising, given the media bash-up before he became the acting Prime Minister, just how complimentary the media has been. I daren't say his name, but even Mike Hoskins has been complimentary.
No, yeah, I just read that. Very, yeah, interesting.
Crazy, right?
I mean, yeah, there have been a couple of headline-worthy moments. Would you say Winston's been sort of standing his ground? I mean, and especially in terms... You're a Foreign Affairs Undersecretary. You'd be involved with the issue with Australia not backing down on deportation policy. He said that they should change their flag to a kangaroo. How do you think he's been handling all of this?
I think that was something, a jestful highlighting of the fact that Australia changed their flag after we had changed ours. And,
was that serious?
No.
Is there any sort of serious side to that, to this, to his angle?
Although it would be nice if they changed it, because... It was only during that silly flag referendum that you really sat down and analysed the difference in colours between the stars and the actual star. So you were very sure of the difference in case someone, you know, goes, which one is which?
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you think the relationship between our countries is faring at the moment? I mean, Peter Dutton did take a swipe at our security efforts in the region. Says Australia does a lot of the heavy lifting. Andrew Little did sort of snipe back. What do you think is happening here?
Well, he was quite specific about what he was referring to about heavy lifting. And actually, we don't get a lot of boat people coming to New Zealand, not necessarily because of Australia's efforts, but because we're literally too far away. I have the title of what's it called, a delegation for the Pacific. So part of my job in foreign affairs is the Pacific. And I've seen our military efforts in terms of trying to stop drug running. I've seen our armed forces after natural disasters. Our police are deployed in the Pacific, and we have active patrolling in the area. So actually, yes, Australia does do a lot, but, you know, given our size, we most definitely pull our weight in the Pacific. So it's an interesting debate, but I think fundamentally the relationship is a strong one. They are literally, you know, they are our cousins, as it were, and we are arguably two of the closest economies in the world, and we do an incredible amount together.
I mean, in terms of their deportation policies and sort of the, I mean, it's a human rights issue that goes against everything that our country stands for.
Well, holding that 17-year-old was definitely a breach of human rights. Unfortunately, you know, what they're doing now is quite legal. They're entitled to do it. It's just we need to be able to work with them and try and work our way through it. But, I mean, this is the nature of... I mean, have you seen Australian politics at the moment?
It's quite a
difficult and very different world to our own. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. There are aspects of it that are challenging. No doubt about it at all.
Moving on, you are also Regional Development Undersecretary. You and Shane Jones did visit the West Coast, was it the week before last?
Yeah, that's right.
What is the sort of general feel there among the locals? I mean, there's a lot of anger, I think. Do you agree with Jones that mining does need to be a part of the regional economic development there?
It's actually core New Zealand First policy. So, you know, as an independent party, we definitely say that. But I think what we're trying to do now is, as part of a government, say, how can we make sure that mining is part of a way forward there, because there's some good resources that can be extracted safely and sustainably and environmentally, as it were, and you know, we just have to make sure that it can be done. It's just where and how. So those are the debates that politicians are having in the coalition, and you know,
Eugenie Sage, Conservation Minister, did say that there will not be any mining. Jacinda Ardern's on her side, so is it just going to be a matter of some negotiating?
No new mining on the Docker State.
Right.
So there's existing mining. There's the question of what is the Docker State, because there are lands there that could be easily argued that are actually not the dock estate. They're just currently managed by DOC. So these are the issues that we have to work through and make sure everyone's, you know, kind of on the same boat as we move forward. Because if we do it right and safely and sustainably and environmentally, it is good for the economy.
We've been speaking with Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.